Just a reminder that tomorrow is the day we celebrate. It's a national holiday, celebrate Martin Luther King's junior birthday. And so there will be civil rights marches and parades and so forth. And freedom is never free. And so we always want to honor and thank those who paid a price for the freedoms we enjoy. Let's just thank them right now. Come on, don't pat a kid. Come on. Yeah. Oh, that's weak. I'm telling you, you didn't get here by yourself. The job, the freedom, everything you got is because somebody paid a price. So let's thank God right now. We thank God and we honor him. We honor those who've sacrificed and often paid a price so that we can enjoy the freedoms we have. Amen. I'm at Daniel chapter 9, and I want to talk to you. Probably of all the spiritual disciplines or habits we're going to talk about, probably one of the most important is the habit of the daily reading God's Word. How many want to be successful in 2020? Amen. That's most of you. How many want, you know, in the Word of God, God gives us the key to success in every area of your life, in your financial life, in your health, in your workplace, in your family. God wants you blessed. How many have discovered that God is a good God? And he desires to bless your life. But how many know their conditions? Listen, one of the promises I like to read as you turn to the book of Daniel, Joshua 1:8. How many of you know the scripture, Joshua 1:8? Amen. This is what it says. It says, if this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate, come on, in it. How often? How often? Now listen to what it says. Here's the promise. And no, it goes on. And then you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Here's the promise. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Say good success. And I believe that God wants to bless you, your family, your workplace, and everyone with good success. But his condition is this. God's will is revealed in his word. And if you and I are going to ever understand the will of God, then we're going to have to learn how to meditate and receive the word of God. And so I want to look at the discipline of the daily reading of the word of God. I want to also challenge every member. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every one of us, all New Wine members, made a commitment that in 2020 we would all daily read the Word of God, that we would systematically go through the Bible, reading the Scriptures. I believe that we'll experience the greatest year, not just individually, but corporately. How many of you know that's what God is not just wanting to bless you. He wants to bless your life. And because of what he does in your life, it causes an overflow that wherever you go, the blessings of God says his blessing will overtake you. That means you not look at tracing the blessing take chasing after you. How many of you like to have the blessing of God to overtake you? Well, that's some of you. Well, let's begin. We've been looking at the life of Daniel, and Daniel was a man in the Bible who life was blessed. We record his life. The Bible covers about almost 70 years of his life, and it's amazing how this man Daniel, because of the habit of fasting, the habit of prayer. And we're going to see today the habit of the reading Word of God, how his life was blessed in an unusual way. I'm reading Daniel chapter 9, verses 1, and I'm going to read through verses 5. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, listen what he said, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So to just give you a backdrop, you know, here was Daniel reading the book of Jeremiah. And as he read the book, he reflected on it, and God began to give him understanding. You got to remember that Daniel was was Israel who had been taken captive by a foreign country named Babylon, and he was now in exile against his own will, like so many of the Jews. But God had given a promise. See, God had judged them because they had turned away from the Lord. God said, for 70 years, I'm going to allow you to go into a foreign country, and there you'll be in exile. But God says, but after 70 years, I will return you, and I'll bring you back home. Could you imagine the excitement of Daniel as he began to read the book of Jeremiah, and he began to realize, God, this is the 70th year. I believe this is the year of Jubilee. I believe this is the year, God, you're about to do something. I believe this is the year, God, we're going to go home. I believe, Lord, this is the year we're going to be set free. I believe that arose an excitement in his heart. And the Bible says, listen what he began to do. As he read and understood, the Bible says in verse 3, so he turned to God and he pleaded with him in prayer. See, this is one of the things you got to understand, that God gives us promises. But how many know you got to often claim that? Pray what God has promised. And this is one of the sure way to answer prayer. If God has given you a promise, I want you to know, if you'll pray in agreement with the will of God, it will be done in your life. And so Daniel began, he said, so I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer, petition, and fasting. Oh, how many have been enjoying this time of fasting? Can I stop and give you a commercial? Let me just tell you, you know, it's amazing because Kenneth had to leave early, but he was sharing with me. He said, Pastor, you know, it's amazing what God is doing in my life during this time of prayer and fasting. He said, you know, I grew up in a very poor family. I didn't have good eating habits. I ate a lot of junk food most of my life. He said, you know, but this fast has been so important because he said, you know what, it is, I'm being delivered from habits of all the bad food that I've ate most of my life. He said, it's amazing how what God is doing. He said, it's amazing how clearly I can sense his presence. He said, you know, it's amazing how now I can feel God's presence in my life. He said, you know, and I'm just so grateful of what God has done in my life through this time of prayer and fasting. I wanted him to come and give the testimony, but he had to leave. So I said, I'm going to share it with you. And I want you to know, listen, it is not too late to join. Some of you may have said, well, this is day 14. We're on a 21-day time of prayer and fasting. And I want to encourage you, it is not too late for you to take time. Fasting, listen, is between you and God. We didn't tell you how to fast. Some of you might fast a day. Some of you might fast from sun up to sundown. Some of you might fast a meal during your noon meal. Instead of eating, you taking time to read and pray and study the Word of God. But I want to tell you that God honors prayer and fasting. Every major breakthrough that I've ever experienced in my life, I've been a Christian now 40 years. Every major breakthrough has often come in the seasons of prayer and fasting. I shared with our leaders in prayer. I didn't share with you, but I, 25 years ago, almost 25 years ago, I was we started New Wine. This was our 25th year. And we were largely estranged from my former pastor. Didn't have a good relationship over the years. But I was praying at the beginning of my fast. God put on my heart my former pastor. And, you know, he's a God who answers prayer. How many of there's nothing too hard for the Lord? And do you know that God began dealing with me, asked, can he come and meet with me? And I want you to know, we had about a 3.5-hour meeting, and we got some things right, and God has brought some healing and reconciliation. You know what? Come on, let's thank God. You know, I'm telling you, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. And I want you to know, if you'll pray, God will get relationships right. God, you know, fasting is not changing. God, fasting is what God, it opens the door for God to change you. How many of you need some change in your life? How many of you need some change in your relationship? Sometimes, listen, some of you sent, we sent our prayer request, and some of you sent our prayer request saying, Pastor, I need God to move in my family. Some of you said, listen, our family is divided. Our family, there's discord. And I'm telling you, prayer and fasting will break strongholds. It will soften hearts. It will begin to move in the lives of people. It will cause health and healing to spring forth. It will cause influence and favor to come in your life. How many of you want more of the favor of God? I want you to know this is what happens in our time. I'm telling you, I'm a living witness. If God don't do anything else, I'm shouting already with God. Come on, how many of you know he's a good God? And so I want to encourage you. And the Bible says, and Daniel prayed and fasted and prayed petition. He put sackcloth and ashes. It was always a sign of humility in their days. They would put on a sackcloth, and it was a sign that they were humbling themselves before God. And as I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, how many know sometimes when we fasting and praying, sometimes God want to deal with the sin in our lives. He said, I confess, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with all those who love him and obey his commandment. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled, and we have turned away from your commands and your laws. I'm not going to read it all, but if you read the prayer of Daniel in Daniel 9, the Bible tells us that God immediately answered and sent an angel from heaven. And the angel Gabriel came down and met with Daniel and said, oh, Daniel, God has heard your prayer. How many like an angel to come down and let God know? You see, I believe God is still in the business of supernatural. Some of you need God to come down and move in your situation. And I want you to know that's what prayer and fasting will do. And so I want to look at three things if you and I are going to develop the habit of the daily reading the Word of God. Number one, we must establish. Listen, if you're going to develop a habit, you got to systematically, say systematically. You got to systematically read the Word of God. What the word systematically mean? It means to develop a plan or a system to get it done. A system is mean that, you know, I have a plan. There are many Bible plans. You can go on YouVersion, download. Today, we don't have no excuse. Get your phone out. Go to App Store and go to YouVersion. And you can have many different versions of the Bible, and you can listen to it, you can play it. It's amazing. So how many of you know we don't have no excuse for not reading the Bible? Can I have an amen? Look at somebody and say, you got to read your Bible. Here was Daniel. The Bible implied that Daniel regularly read the Word of God. He had a habit of reading God's word. I want you to know Paul writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:13, he says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. Paul was writing to Timothy. He was a young pastor in the city of Ephesus, and there were a lot of false teachers and people bringing false doctrines. And Paul said, Timothy, one way to defend yourself and to defend your people from being deceived and led astray is to give them the Word of God. Read the Scriptures. And I want you to know that if you and I want to protect ourselves from a lie, from deception, I want you to know that if you'll put the Word of God in you, it'll protect you from being deceived. It'll protect you from being led astray. The Bible said, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. How many know knowledge is power? And I want you to know when you begin to get the Word of God, it will change your life. Why is it important to daily read the Word of God? Because first of all, the Bible tells us that that when we read the Word of God, it renews our mind. How many know all of us has dealt with some stinking? Anybody beside me have had some stinking thinking? The reality, if you were born in this world, you and I have dealt with some wrong way of thinking. Sometimes the Bible said we once walked according to the course or the pattern of this world. And all of us lived our lives in darkness, living according to worldly desires, living according to the flesh. But how many know when we come to Christ, he saves us. But how many know it's our job to renew our mind? And the way we renew our mind is through the daily reading of the Word of God. And I believe that if we'll read the Word of God, it will transform our lives. The Bible tells us that in James chapter 1, listen to what it says. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. Now, this is so important. The word of God, the Bible says, is like a seed, and it has to be planted on the inside of you. How many know you could have two people or two types of ground take the same seed, one planted in one ground, and nothing comes up. Planted in another ground, and it produced a hundred full harvest. What's the difference? What's the difference? The soil, right? And so here he's saying, just like the ground has to be prepared, you could take a good seed, but if you plant it in a dry desert place where there's not much rain, there's a lot of sun in it, there's nothing to fertilize that seed, it could lay there for 100 years. You know, they've gone in Egypt and they've uncovered places where they were able to find grain from 2,000 years ago. Still there. Guess what? Didn't plant a lot, but when they planted it in the right soil, it began to produce a harvest. The same is true in our lives. God likens our heart to a soil, to ground. Jesus said some seed falls by the wayside. It means talk about the hard places. You know, if you have unforgiveness and bitterness, I don't care. I can share the word of God, but nothing getting in because your heart is hard and the word is not going to take root. Some seed is planted by rocky ground. That means they got a little bit soil, but because there's no depth of soil, when trouble comes, the plant dies because there's no depth of soil there. See, some seed is planted by thorny ground. It says, but you know what? Sometimes we allow worry, cares of this life, distractions. How many of you know you can get all excited at church and then you go home and all of a sudden the toilet overflowing? Or you go at home and you done forgot what there was preached that day. Anybody ever been there? You go at home and the children start acting up and you done start to cussing. Isn't it easy? And so how many of you know we have to water that word. We have to nourish that word. And here in James, he tells us, before you can plant the seeds, you must remove the weeds. Look at somebody and say, you got to remove the weeds. I'm going to say it again. Before you can plant the seed, you got to remove the weed. It's amazing. You can have one person sit in the church, and they've been here for 1 year, but because their heart is open and hungry, they receive the word of God and they grow, and it's amazing. You can have another person and they've been here 10 years and they're still in the same place. They hadn't changed, just as mean, just as cantankerous and smiling. But I'm not talking about none of y'all. Come on, somebody, look at somebody and say, he's not talking about us. Amen. Oh, if you smile, nobody know they're talking about. Amen. How many of you know it's cheaper to smile than to frown? I'm going to say, how many of you know it's cheaper to smile? I want you to know, and you need to train yourself. You know, we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. But hear me, the beginning of developing a habit is to systematically read through the word of God. I want you to know that you got to prepare the ground. Sometimes you got to prepare the ground by repentance of sin. This is why I fast and pray. Sometimes God will show me sins that I'm not even aware of. Sometimes there's people that I didn't even realize I had an issue with. But God will say, oh, yeah, he'll put that finger on your heart and say, yeah, you hadn't called that person in years. You don't even be bothered with that person. Isn't it amazing how people can come to church and shout and raise their hand and go home and not even speak with their brothers and sisters? If you can't say amen, just say, oh, me. Right here in this church, there are people right now who have strained relationships. Brothers and sisters, this ought not to be. If we represent God and God has forgiven you, Who are you not to forgive your brother, your sister, your friend? And I want you to know, we cannot hold bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, and anger and expect the word of God to bless you. It will not happen. You got to get out the weeds so that the seed can grow. Amen. Can I have an amen? And so God wants the seed to take root in our heart. But if it's going to take root, we got it. There's a part that you and I play. And so that's why, one of the reasons why I fast, because I begin to say, God, search me. I pray like David prayed in Psalms 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. God, is there any wicked way in me? God, is there any offensive way in me? Sometimes it's an attitude of the heart. Sometimes it's being too hard. You know, sometimes God will begin to show me. Sometimes it's the little sins that we sometimes ignore. It's sometimes not having the right disposition towards your mate. Sometimes it's taking them for granted. You know, there's a sin of instead of being appreciative and grateful, we take them for granted. And sometimes when we pray, God will show us when it was in our heart. That's what's so important about the word of God. I want to tell you that if you will begin to daily read the word of God, it will transform you. It will change you. The Bible says we're being changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. God takes the word of God and he transforms our lives. I am the man of God. I am the man I am today because of this book. Somebody give God some praise. Come on. Come on. Come on. Aren't you glad? Oh, I tell you, I begin to find, we often say this confession, this is my Bible. I am what it, come on, say it with me. Say, this is my Bible. Hold up your phone, your iPad, come on, say it with me. Say, this is my Bible. Say, I am what it says I am. Say, I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. Say, today I'm going to be taught the word of God. I confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and right now I am ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible seed of the word of God. Come on, let's thank God together. Come on, let's thank. Oh, yeah, listen, it is the word that changes. Secondly, if you and I are going to develop the habit of the word of God, you must learn to reflect on God's word. Say reflect. The word reflect means to think deeply and carefully about it. It means you don't just read it and say, oh, I got it done with today. No, you think about what you read to the degree, God, what are you saying to my life? Listen what the Bible says of Daniel. In the first year of his reign, Daniel understood from the scriptures according to the word of God. In other words, Daniel began to reflect on what God was saying. As he thought about it, all of a sudden, it began to come alive to him. All of a sudden, revelation came. Revelation means that God begins to reveal. The Bible says it's the Holy Spirit that reveals truth. You can't receive it on your own. But how many know the Holy Spirit begins to take the word of God and he begins to reveal to you, yes, that's a word for you. Yes, that applies to you. I want you to know that nothing has blessed my life more than reflecting on the word of God. I want to just give you a few examples. You know, years ago, I really had a terrible battle with anger. My wife can testify that I was nothing nice to live with. I made excuses and I blamed everybody else for my anger. That's what's worse, because blame is lame. And as long as you blame, you can't change. And I had to come to a place in my life to stop blaming. It took my wife calling the police on me to be actually, you know, I wasn't gonna change. But finally, when I was forced to say, you know what, I got a problem. And one night, I realized, God, I need you to do something in my life. And let me just tell you, I was reading the word of God, Galatians 3:13. Here's one of the promises. The Bible says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse. He was made a curse for us. For it says, curses is everyone that hang on a tree so that the blessings of Abraham might come on those who believe. Now, let me just tell you, here's my excuse. Well, you know what? I'm angry because my daddy was angry. You know, I'm angry because his daddy was angry. And I'm angry because his daddy was angry. Well, you know, it's just the way we are. It's just the way I was raised. It's just the way we talk to one another. And I made excuses for it. But when I got hold of the word of God and I realized I'm no longer under the curse, come on, but I'm under the blessing. Tell somebody, I'm not under the curse, but I'm under the blessing. Come on, look at somebody and say, I'm not under the curse, but I'm under the blessing. And when I got, listen, it became revelation to me. All of a sudden, I realized I don't have to be like my daddy. I don't have to be like my granddaddy. I don't have to be like my great-granddaddy. I can be like Jesus. Come on, give God a praise. You can be like Jesus. And I want to tell you, I took hold of that word. And I began to apply it. And I said, devil, you a liar. I've been redeemed. It began to change my mind. God, I don't have to be controlled by a spirit of anger and rage. I can be controlled by the Holy Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Don't say I can't help myself, because if you got the Holy Spirit, you got the spirit of self-control. Come on, somebody, let's thank God for the Holy Spirit. Come on, let's say thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you live in me. Come on, it's the Holy Spirit that takes this word and transforms our lives. And when you and I reflect on the word of God, the Holy Spirit transforms us. I want you to know, it will work in every area of our lives. You know, breakthroughs in my life has come when I've meditated and as a result of getting a word from the Lord. You remember the song, Just a Word from the Lord? Lord, just one word. How many of you just, sometimes all you need is a word? All through my life, there's been times when I've been in serious situations. I didn't know where to turn. I went into the Word of God, and God gave me a word. Many of you know, when we were about to buy this complex, a group of business people in this area put up an all-cash offer. After we had prayed for 10 years for this building, all of a sudden the owner called us and said, we've rejected your offer, and we've accepted an all-cash offer. You need to find another place. I was devastated. It was like somebody hit me in the stomach. But listen, that's why you got to hold on to the Word of God. I went to the Bible, and I'm telling you, I read how God began to move in Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was facing an army. They were outnumbered. It was overwhelming. And Jehoshaphat said, Lord, who do we have to turn to but you? We have no one besides you. That word became to me. The Bible says, and Jehoshaphat called a 3 days of fasting. And the Bible says, and as they fasted, the word of the Lord came to Jehoshaphat through the prophet Isaiah. He said, listen, the battle is not yours, but the battle is the Lord. And God gave me a word. I called the whole church. I said, church, listen, we're going to fast. God gave me a word. This battle ain't ours. It's the battle is the Lord. God is our witness. As we prayed and fasted, God turned it around. These people had put up an all-cash offer. They all of a sudden began to fight among one another. The thing failed, and God turned it around. The owner had to call us and say, listen, the other offer fell through. If you still want it, you got 12 weeks to pay for it. And how many know the rest is history? Come on, give God some praise in here. But we had a word from the Lord, a word. And that's why you and I have to take time to reflect on the word. Listen to what it says in James, the rest of James. It says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forget what he looks like. You know, that's a problem today. Too many people got mirrors in their house and they don't look at them. It's obvious because they walk outside. I mean, I'm telling you. Oh, don't start hating on me. It's obvious. Some people don't look at their mirrors. Let me move on. Come on. I'm going to get in trouble, y'all. Come on. Listen. But the man who look intently, you don't just gaze, but you intently look into. Intently look into the perfect law that gives freedom. And continues to do it. Say, continue to do it. Not forgetting what he heard. Look at somebody. You got to not forget. Here's the Air Force did a study, and this is why it's so important to take notes. This is why it's so important to write it down. This is why it's so Air Force did a study years ago, and they discovered that you forget 95% of what you heard within 72 hours. But do you know if you'll write it down? Do you know if you'll say it out? Do you know if you'll share it with somebody? The chances of you retaining is so much greater. That's why people not only hear it, but go home and then share it with somebody else. They're a lot more likely to retain it. And so I want you to know, if we're going to retain the Word of God, then it's important that, listen, we gotta reflect on it. We got to take time. The purpose of a mirror is to reflect. We look into the mirror to see what we need to fix, what we need to clean, what we need to adjust, what we need to take off. Some of us need to start looking more in that mirror. Now, listen. What good is a mirror if you do nothing about it? Just as a mirror reflects what we are on the outside, God's word reflects what you are on the inside. And James tells us here that we need to reflect on the word of God. We need to ponder and ask certain questions. There's four, five questions you might want to write them down that you can use the acronym SPEC. Is there a sin to confess? That's the S. The P, is there a promise to claim? The E, is there an example to follow? The C, is there a command to obey? The K, is there knowledge or truth to believe? I want you to know, My kids love this young lady. She's a millennial. Her name is Jackie Hill Perry. Anybody ever heard of Jackie Hill Perry? Some of you. Jackie Hill Perry is a young African-American young lady, powerful woman of God, powerful preacher. But she was raised in a very abusive home, got into an alternative lifestyle, became a lesbian, and justified it. And someone gave her a Bible, and she began to reading the Word of God. And in her own words, in her own testimony, she said, as I read the Word of God, the knowledge of Word of God, I could no longer justify that I was born that way, because that's not what the words say. She said, I had to come to grips with either I'm going to believe the Bible or I'm going to believe what psychiatrists and sociologists and everybody said. And she came to grips with, she said, I'm going to believe the Bible. And she caught hold of the Bible and she chose it. I'm going to believe God's word. And guess what? God delivered her, saved her. Today she's married, she got children, and she's a preacher of the gospel. Come on, give God some. I'm telling you, there's explosive power in the Word of God. It will change you. It will. The Bible said the Word of God is quick, is alive, is powerful. Say it's powerful. It will bring deliverance. It will bring healing. It will bring prosperity. It will bring change. It will change your DNA. It will change your. If you'll reflect on, I want you to know. Listen, I'm telling you, it's the Word of God that will change your life. And if you'll reflect on it, it will change your life forever. Somebody say amen. I'm getting so excited about the Word of God. Amen. Oh, I tell you, listen to what David said in the psalm. He said, oh, how I love your law. I meditate in it all day long. I want you to know, listen, here's a good habit. You want to know one of the habits your pastor had. I read the Word of God. The first thing I do, and thank God for iPads and iPhones today, because I don't have to turn on the phone to no light. I don't have to wake up. My wife wakes up at the drop of a hat. So if I get up, so today I could just reach over and grab my iPad, and the first thing I can start reading it, and I don't have to disturb nobody. I can just put the cover up over my head. But how many know, this is the habit I do. The first thing I do, rather than seeing what on Facebook, what's on Twitter, what's on social media, what's on my email, the first thing I do is I go and I begin reading the Bible as the first thing I start my day with. You know what I do at the end of every day? The last day, when I go to bed, I want to fill my mind with the thoughts of God, because the Bible says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As high as the heaven above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. You know how I get the thoughts of God? Is because the last thing I do when I go to bed, I fill my mind with the Word of God. Sometimes I put it on. If I'm too tired, I let it play, and I go to sleep listening to the Word of God. Oh, how sweet it is. David said it's sweeter than the honeycomb. I want you to know it is more important than anything. The Bible said if you would seek for it as you would for silver, if you would search for it as you would for pure gold, the Bible said you would get the knowledge of God. You're looking at somebody who's blessed because of this book. I want you to know that when you let the Word of God get on the inside of you, it will reward you. It will give you favor. Listen to me. Someone recently sent me something, and you know, they were talking about how I give God all the credit, but how God had used my life in a particular situation. And you know, I had to reflect the fact it's been because of what God has done in my life. How many know we can't boast that we're anything? But I mean, let him that boasts in the Lord. Anything, if there's any good in you, is because of God. Paul said this, in my flesh dwell no good thing. Y'all wouldn't have wanted to know me apart from Christ. But because of Jesus, come on, gooder and gooder. My wife cringes when I say that. Come on, I'm telling you, in the Lord, we become, the Bible said, the path of the righteous is like the dawn of a new day. It gets brighter, brighter till the full noonday. Listen, a young man, I was in McDonald's, not buying something, I was buying something from one of my grandkids. And this young man said, man, why is that glow on your face? Well, I made light of it. I said, well, maybe I got a lot of oily skin. He said, no, no, no. I said, well, you know what it really is? Jesus. He said, yeah, that's probably what it is. There ought to be a glow in our lives because of the love of Jesus. That's why when you smile, the only Jesus some people will ever see is the Jesus in you. You need to let your light shine so that people will see your good works and glorify God. Come on, give God some praise. Lastly, as I close, some of y'all look like y'all sleeping, amen, but I'm going to wake you up. Lastly, here's the last thing. How many of you want to be blessed? How many of you want to experience? Listen, here's the key. It's learning to respond. I said, number one, we got to read his word. We got to reflect on his word. But lastly, we got to respond to his word. The Bible says of Daniel, he didn't just read it. He didn't just reflect on it, but when he heard the word of God, he responded. He saw that there was a promise to claim. He saw that there was a sin that needed to be confessed in his life. He began to say, God, there's something I can do, and he began to act on the word. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 22, listen to what it says. It says, do not just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word, lest you deceive yourself. See, the problem in America today, we got a whole lot of people who go to church who hear the word, but it's not the hearing of the word that will change your life. It's the doing of the word that will bless you. The Bible says it's like the person who hear the word and don't do it. It's like having a mirror in your house, but you don't comb your hair. It's like having a mirror in the house and you don't wash your face. It's like having a mirror in your house and people say, well, listen, you see all that on your face, but you don't do nothing about it. That's what you and I do when we don't act on the word. But listen to what he says here. The Bible says again in James, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Obviously, Daniel began to act on the word of God. And because he began to pray and act, the Bible said the angel of God came and delivered him. I want to say this as I close. The test of Christian character is not hearing. It's not knowing. We got people who can confess and quote scripture after scripture, but they don't do it. And I want you to know, you and I are going to one day stand before God, and we're going to give an account not to what just what we heard, but did we act on what we heard? Here's the promise he gives us, the last scripture. Listen to what he says in James. James says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself, but do what it says. He goes on to say, but any man who look intently here, perfect law of liberty, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer, say a doer of the word. Let's read it as we close. Listen, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continue to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but what? Come on, say do it. Come on, that's Nike. Nike stole that from the Bible. God is the first one to say, just do it. Look at the Bible and say, just do it. Come on, look at the Bible and say, just do it. But being a doer, listen, but doing it, he will, what it says? What? What he will be? Come on, say it again. He will be blessed. How many want to be blessed in 2020? That word bless there means to be spiritually prosperous, to experience lasting joy, to live in the favor of God regardless of circumstances. I don't know about you, but I want lasting joy. I want the prosperity of God. I want the favor of God. If that's you today, and you say, Pastor, that's what I want in my life. Listen, I'm telling you the key to being successful. I'm telling you the key to you and I being blessed. I'm telling you the key for God to bless your children, to bless your family, to bless your whatever you put. God said, I'll bless whatever you put your hands to. I'll cause it to prosper. The key here is being a doer, responding to the word. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's what I want for my life in 2020. I want to experience God's supernatural favor. God, I want to walk in the blessings of God. I want to have lasting joy regardless of the circumstance. That's what I want for my life. Jesus said, now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. I'm telling you, the reason why I can look forward to 2020 with great anticipation, with great expectancy, because I know what this book says. And this book says it doesn't care what's happening in the economy. It doesn't happen what's happening in the White House. It doesn't happen what's happening in the climate. God says, listen, if you will do this word, your life will be blessed. I'm going to ask you again, how many of you want 2020 to be your most blessed, prosperous, favor-filled year ever? If that's you, stand on your feet. I want to close in a word of prayer. Young lady in the black, I don't know your name, but God has just given me a word for you. You're here today. You know, the Bible says this. I don't know your name, but listen to what the word says. The eyes of the one whose heart go to and fro throughout the earth to find the one whose heart is completely his. Young lady, I just sense that you have a heart for the Lord. I don't know what brought you here this morning, but I believe the Lord wants me to tell you that he sees your heart. And God wants to show you his favor. God wants to bless your life. God wants to do something so great in your life that your friends will have to say, what is it? And you say, it's the favor of God. It's the hand of God. Is the blessing of God. I want to pray for you this morning. I believe there's people here this morning, and you say, Pastor, that's me today. I'm telling you, listen, the promises of God are conditional. It's conditional. Here it is. And if you and I will learn the key, if we will learn that the key, David said, I meditate in it day and night, observing to do what's in it, then I'll make my way prosperous. Then I'll find good success. In Psalm chapter 1, it says, and his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in it he meditate day and night. Say day and night. He shall be like a tree. I don't want to just be a mushroom here today and going on. I want to be a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth fruit in its season. His leaf shall not wither. And whatever he do will prosper. How many want that to be your life? Let me pray for you. Come on. Come on, you wanted to say something? Yes, ma'am. You came for joy. God, she came to join the joy. God bless you. What's your name, man? Don't. Doris. Well, come on, let's thank God for Sister Doris. Oh, don't pay. I love how God bless you. Oh, isn't that awesome? Church, don't panic. Come on, let's thank God. Listen, there may be someone else here, and God is speaking to you this morning. God may be speaking to you, I need to get baptized. I need to join a church. I need to give my life to the Lord. Today, I need to make a decision. And if that's you here today, I just want you to know, if God, the Bible said, listen what I've learned. The Bible said, no one can come unless the Spirit draw. I didn't invite this lady. The Holy Spirit didn't move on her. And God is touched. Let's thank God for Sister Dora. Is there someone else that God is moving on your heart? Is there anyone else that God is moving on your heart and you just want to today, you want to make a decision? If that's you here, anyone else? Well, amen. Let's stretch your hands toward Doris. Amen. Father, thank you for Sister Doris. Thank you for her life. Lord, thank you that she today, it says you the one part of this church family. God, your word says you the one who add to the church, those who are being saved. Lord, thank you for her life. Now, Lord, today as a church family, we welcome her. We let her know that this is a no judgment zone. We are going to build her up and not tear her down. We're going to love her, pray for her, and speak God's blessing over her. God, we want only good for her. And so today, we pray today favor. We pray joy. We pray peace. We pray every need met. We pray prosperity. We pray, Lord God, that you're causing overflow in her life. And that today, Lord God, that the angels of God are going with her, blessing her. And God, we thank you for her in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Doris. Come on, Aunt Patty, come on, let's bless God. Well, amen. Amen. Oh, yeah, you can say, they're going to say, you made a way. How many of you know God makes a way?